The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
Hey, blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia. The movie podcast is counting down the biggest hit movies of the 1980s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
On today's episode, we're reviewing not one, not two, not three, several. A LeBron James number yeah. of movies on this particular review recap podcast episode.
Well, we only have four movies left.
We have four movies left on the big list.
So we're edging.
Exactly.
We're edging.
We're getting real close. We're going sting style.
Yeah.
We're going tantric.
You
on
know
this.
We got Star Wars up yeah. in there and Batman coming up, but yeah. you know what we're doing right now? We're just teasing. Yeah. Just getting you all ready for that.
Yeah.
By counting down and talking about the movies that we've already covered.
Right. It's been 3 years. Yeah. Over 3 years now.
It's been a little bit over 3 years since we started. And hopefully all of you have followed us religiously.
For the entire three years. But just in case you haven't, or it's been 3 years and you need a reminder yeah. because you're stupid.
Yeah. You're not stupid.
We need a reminder too because we've forgotten yeah. most of this stuff too.
All right, let's start off with the next movie.
So yeah, if you missed last episode we covered the first seven movies we ever talked about. Right. Now we're
from
picking
Down and
up,
Out to
Staying Alive.
Staying Alive.
That's right. Now we are picking up with our eighth episode. It is the
iconic
teen girl icon.
The iconic. Unforgettable. The movie that shaped your childhood
That's
if you
right.
were a young girl.
That's right.
In the 80s. Dirty Dancing. It was terrible.
It's not particularly dirty.
It is not dirty. It has dancing.
It does have dancing. They do deliver on that part.
Yeah.
It
does have one very sexy Patrick Swayze.
He is shirtless. He is sexy. He wears very tight pants.
That's it. As far as sexiness goes. Yeah. Patrick Swayze is all you get. Everybody else is just kind of okay looking.
Jennifer Grey, she wears them big sweaters.
Yeah, it's weird. Weird. I specifically remember talking in the episode, the very iconic line.
Yeah, don't put baby in the corner.
Nobody puts baby in the corner. And I remember us talking
being
about
very
how,
upset about that.
Because nobody's putting her in a corner.
She's not in a corner. Nobody's putting her in a corner.
No, yeah.
That guy left.
He left. Yeah, yeah. Also, nobody told her she couldn't dance.
Yeah.
Like, she chose not to
dance. Nobody forbid the dancing. This is not a shake in Aqua Teen situation. This is,
yeah, exactly.
Dancing is not forbidden.
This is not a Footloose. Dancing is outlawed.
Right.
Because of a car crash for some reason.
This was just a responsible parent being like, hey, maybe my 15-year-old daughter shouldn't hang out with this 25-year-old wastoid who's been lying to her the whole time.
Yeah, and there was like a weird abortion thing in there, right?
Yeah.
Like a pregnancy lie in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that we may have made that up, but I'm pretty sure yeah. there was a pregnancy
sense.
Lie.
It makes yeah. sense that dad is like, hey, don't be hanging out with us. And she's like, fine. And then her sister is going to be singing, and everybody hates her fucking sister. And I'm talking
For
about
no,
everybody
in the real world.
See, in the yeah. real world, who's
in the,
seen
in the
movie.
World of the movie, people are like, no, she just seems like a normal girl.
Yeah.
We have no problem with her.
Yeah, if you watch it now, look at her sister and how much you hate her sister and be like, why?
Why?
She wants the same shit that that Jennifer Grey wants. She just wants to dance and sing and shit. But no, everybody hates her.
Yep.
And then Patrick Swayze walks up super defiantly and says, nobody puts baby in the corner. Nobody has put baby in the
no.
corner. She chose not to fucking dance. And then they have a big dance off. And then that's all I remember of that movie.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
It's the 1950s again.
Yeah, that's right. Always 1950s.
Actually, this may have started our talking about it over and over again because God damn did the 80s love the 50s.
Just like we love the 80s now.
Just like we have lately. Exactly. Every
yeah.
30 years, man.
Everybody jumps back 30 years.
Yeah.
The 50s loved the 20s, I guess.
Probably.
Yeah, sure, right? Why not?
Actually, that's probably not a million miles away because you had World War One and stuff like that going on. And
well, yeah, I mean,
Great
the roaring
Gatsby,
20s.
Right? Great Gatsby going on.
It was the roaring 20s, so the 20s were still fun for them.
Yeah, they were super fun. Yeah. I mean, also the Great Depression.
Prohibition and shit. No, that was the 30s.
Yeah, yeah.
Depression was 30s. So
that's
nobody,
true.
And in the 29, 60s, nobody
29
cared about the
was the fall, so.
And the 60s is all about getting high and
yeah.
Beatles and Vietnam.
And free love, man.
Yeah. So that was Dirty Dancing.
Yeah. So after that, we stay with, I guess, the iconic movies of young women growing up.
Okay.
And we go to 1985, if memory serves, Working Girl.
Ooh, Working Girl.
Working Girl.
Was that Melanie Griffith?
It was.
And the first Harrison Ford appearance.
We were going to get there. Yeah.
Ah.
So this is, of course, a movie about a working girl, by which I mean a streetwalker.
Yes.
Which is played by Harrison Ford.
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful Harrison Ford.
I remember the first shot being the worst hair and makeup that I had ever seen.
So
not the first shot, but the first shot of them.
Yes. Yeah, so the first... Because
it's,
man.
It's Joan...
It's Joan...
Cusack.
Joan Cusack and Melanie Griffith. They're on the ferry, I think?
Yeah, ferry, whatever the fuck. Yeah.
They're on a ferry and they look like clowns.
They look like when Homer was trying to shoot Marge with that makeup gun. Yep. Like it looks like they put makeup in a shotgun and shot them in the face with it.
I was going to go like extras from the new Joker movie that got declined. Like Todd Phillips was like, that's too much.
Too much. Too much makeup. Yeah. Too much makeup. Come on, guys. What are we doing here?
We're making a Joker movie, but let's pull it back.
There's
let's
only one Joker. Yeah. Let's pull back a little bit. Let's put masks on. Let's not do somebody got one of those powder puff things, threw it in a shitload of paint, and just tossed it in somebody's face.
This isn't just someone took a hand mixer that they were making pancakes with, accidentally took it to a makeup kit, and it just exploded all over their face.
And then they did that thing where they're like, and like, or they have glasses on and they take glasses off and the outline is there.
Perfect outline, yeah.
Love that shit.
I should mention, it's not just the makeup. Their hair is atrocious.
Oh, yeah. Again, as if you had been shot in the face with a shotgun.
Yeah.
Yep. Your hair's just
everywhere.
Big and gigantic and blown back because you
can. It is. You just got out of a hurricane.
Yes.
You're a on location weather girl.
Yeah,
it's been we're out here in the hurricane so that you know that there's a hurricane happening because you wouldn't believe us otherwise.
This is a 1984 Texas weather girl
tornado
in the middle of a tornado level of makeup and hair.
It's bad. It's real bad.
That's about as accurate as we can get.
Yeah.
It is.
This movie also does give us very sexy, very sensual, very greasy Alec Baldwin.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Young, sexy Alec Baldwin.
Young, sexy Alec Baldwin. Yeah, he was.
And also very bitchy Sigourney Weaver.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sigourney Weaver playing Da Boss.
Da Boss. So this movie also is the first time that we encountered this trope.
Oh, this is a huge trope in the 80s.
Yeah, the person pretending to be another person and become successful despite the fact that they're not supposed to be that person.
This ties a lot of 80s tropes together because it's about business.
It's about business.
It's about pretending to be somebody else.
It's about female empowerment.
It's about female empowerment. So, yeah, it hits a lot. And it's about Harrison Ford taking his shirt off.
And, yeah, it's about Harrison Ford coming in and saving the fucking movie with his charisma. Saving the movie
because he's the most charismatic fucking dude.
I remember specifically talking about that. Yeah, he shows up and he's like, oh, now we can breathe. Harrison Ford is here.
Yeah.
He's fucking rocking this now.
No, and obviously we're biased because, you know, Han Solo and Indiana Jones and all that stuff. But in reality, he fucking saves this movie. Yeah.
But the movie's cool. So it's Sigourney Weaver is the boss. And she gets hurt. So she's out of commission.
So Melanie Griffith pretends
she pretends to be the boss.
Because she's been just getting kept down by the patriarchy.
By the fucking man.
Yeah, by the fucking man.
And she works so hard and she's so smart. And Joan Cusack knows that, but Joan Cusack is just a sassy friend.
Just a sassy friend.
You get one
sassy. But pretty soon, Melanie Griff is pretending to be a big shot. She has her own secretary.
Making calls. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, kicking ass.
Kicking ass, taking names.
This was pre-
fucking Harrison Ford.
Pre-business girl has to have a gay friend.
That's true. That's she could have a lady friend back then.
Yeah, back then you just get a...
Friend didn't even have to be a lesbian.
No, all she had to be was kind of promiscuous.
Yes. Or, not that hot.
Or not that hot. Yeah. I mean, Joan Cusack, we don't want to say that about Joan Cusack. But I do remember her being kind of promiscuous.
Look, Joan Cusack, nothing wrong with her. We all saw Adam's Family.
Yeah, but it's true. That's true. We all saw Adam's Family, which is her sexiest... Her sexy
peak.
But, you know, Joan Cusack is where the sexiness lies.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to toss it...
If you're going to toss a Cusack...
If I'm tossing it in a Cusack, it's going to be Joan Cusack.
Yeah, of course.
Them eyes, man.
He's so charming. He's so persistent, holding the new jukebox over his head.
Yeah, exactly.
Who could say no?
I said no like 14 times, but then that 15th time...
Look, he's drawing cartoons and stuff and winning Demi Moore's heart.
He's making playlists and shit.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
You can't turn that down.
Working at record stores and shit.
Yeah. As far as Cusacks go, John's where the money is.
He's a fucking assassin in that great movie with Dan Aykroyd and Mimi Driver.
Yeah, that's right. Gross Point Blank.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah.
So that's that movie.
that's Working Girl.
That's definitely everything that Working Girl has to offer, which brings us
to... I remember Working Girl being good.
Oh, it's a pretty good movie. Yeah. Episode 10... That would be Field of Dreams.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is you're going to cry. You're going to cry a lot.
Yes. Field of Dreams.
Saccharine as hell.
Is a movie about a guy trying to cope with
his loss. I mean, if I remember our podcast, it's about a guy who escapes to Ireland planet to avoid alimony, and that guy's name is Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, because he banged so many Jawas.
Yeah, he banged a lot of Jawas.
And all the Jawas have Skywalker babies.
That's right. Which is where Rey comes from, I guess, right? Yeah. Eventually? I don't know how that...
Well...
New information may interfere with that.
One of my problems with the new Star Wars movie is that it kind of makes it where it's like you have to be born into it. So now they're like fancy kings to me. I'm like, oh, now you're like the French fucking king. Like, yeah, yeah. God chose you to be a Jedi.
That's true.
So I feel like all his Jawa babies have to be Jedi. In this case,
the god is the midichlorians.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. God is the pumping through your veins. The blue bloods.
Yes, yes,
it's exactly. Like blue blood. Yeah.
Literally, and it's because their blood is fucking filled with microscopic weird exactly. shit.
Oh, it angers me. It angers me. But those Jawas are Jedis now. They have to be.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah, because apparently that's all you need is to be born into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Now I feel like Rey is kind of like the Donald Trump of the Jedi world.
No, she's more like the Trump Jr.
Yeah, he's the worst. They're even worse. All right. All right. Come at me, internet, with that.
But yeah, Field of Dreams. It's a great movie about baseball and dads.
It's sugar.
It's very sugar
in the gas tank.
But it's also very good.
It's all about baseball. But it's also about them bringing back the incredibly disgraced baseball team.
So rewind for a minute. So this is a movie. So they set out. So you're the screenwriter of this movie, right? Yes. You're sitting there. You're like, okay, I want to do this movie, and it's about how baseball brings generations together and brings men. And you know, men, we have a hard time talking about feelings and stuff like that, but it brings us together in this very like communal bond that we all share, and fathers to sons and all this stuff. So we're gonna bring one team from 100 years of baseball history.
We're in the '80s and into the peak of baseball.
We could bring back Jackie Robinson. We could bring back Babe Ruth. Yeah. What about that team that got kicked out of baseball for cheating?
Yeah. The team that got kicked out for throwing a fucking game
in the World Series.
In the World Series, it was a huge scandal.
Yeah,
was it Rothstein or something like that? Went to jail for it. Like people went down for that fucking scandal.
This was tied directly. Team. If you watch stuff about the early days of the mafia in the 1900s, they talk about how they rigged that shit.
Yeah, that's the only time that an entire team was just banned from playing ever again.
Yeah.
That's the redemption team. That's who he brings back to redeem.
Yeah.
They bring back... Kevin Costner builds a field.
Kevin Costner does build that field.
It's going to be a connection to the afterworld to bring back a team. He brings back the most disgraced team ever and gives them a chance to come back and play baseball. Fuck that team.
But it doesn't matter because his dad and James Earl Jones. Yeah. And
it's all about his dad.
Yeah. Also, Ray Liotta and... The doctor.
The doctor that played minor ball way back.
It's good though.
For a couple of years. Daughter. And then he shows up and he's playing out for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then is it Jim Terrell Jones that walks off into the field?
Yeah, he goes to die.
Weird. Yeah. He accepts it pretty well.
Yeah.
Jim Terrell Jones is still alive.
Well, he's got to.
That was 30 years ago. 30 years ago, he accepted his own mortality.
That's true.
He walked into the fucking field.
He knew like 3 years later, he'd have to be talking from clouds to a lion cub.
He's like, I don't want to do that. Yeah. I'll do that once, but I will not do it twice. Well, it turns out. But we also have Kevin Costner destroying his family life with his madness.
And just running rampant over his wife.
But it ends with him playing ball with his dad.
It all works out.
His dad, because his dad doesn't really know who he is. It's kind of sad.
At first. But he knows.
But he knows.
He knows in his heart.
He knows.
And we know.
It's about playing catch with your fucking dad.
Yeah. It's a movie. That's what this movie is about. It's 2 hours about like, hey dads out there, play catch with your kids.
Yeah. This movie lost to Driving Miss Daisy. And
that's actually kind of a travesty because they're neither one of them are great movies.
Yeah.
But God, I hated Driving Miss Daisy. We'll get to it. Yeah, we'll get to it.
But this is also the movie where we talked about the ending of Driving Miss Daisy.
Oh, yeah. Where she gets killed by a baseball.
By a baseball. Yeah. Where he piles her with a baseball. Yeah. Morgan Freeman. Yeah. It hits 95-year-old. What's her name?
Jessica Lange. Right?
Maybe. Yeah,
sure. I don't know.
In the face of the baseball and kills her instantly.
Yeah.
And that's how the movie ends.
That is.
Yeah.
Great ending.
So listen to Field of Dreams, one of my favorite episodes.
It is a good episode. Check it out. So that brings that brings us to the comedy classic, one pre-Batman Michael Keaton. He's a guy. He's got a dick and everything. But what's this? He's doing lady stuff?
What's the base premise of this movie? What makes this movie this so Mr.
Mom.
Funny?
This Mr. Mom, by this the way, we're Mr. talking Mom. About. This is also John Hughes' first appearance.
John Hughes' first appearance. He's appears like
he's like 100 times in this fucking podcast. But so John Hughes done had this idea where he's like, you know what would be super
really
funny?
Funny.
Because here's the thing about
just thinking about it makes me laugh.
Yeah. Here's the thing about me, John Hughes, is one day my wife had to do some stuff that wasn't taking care of the kids, and she's like, hey, can you do that? And I was like, why not? I guess it's dumb lady shit.
All you do is watch soap operas all day.
So yeah, I'll do that. And then he's like, you know what? Kids suck. This is hard.
Making food sucks.
Yeah.
Cooking sucks.
I don't know how to do that.
Cleaning sucks. Yeah exactly. The whole premise of
this movie is that men cannot do chores and that women can do work, I guess.
It's not that. It's how funny would it be
if a man had to do lady stuff?
If a guy had to be the mom.
Yeah, exactly.
We call it Mr. Mom. It sells itself.
It does sell itself.
And executives are just rolling in the fucking aisles.
I don't know if you've seen, if you don't already.
It's actually pretty solid.
It is pretty solid. But if you don't already follow us on Instagram, you should, because I've found some stuff and I've posted it.
Yeah.
One of the things I found was the French poster for Mr. Mom, in which Michael Keaton, a cartoon character of Michael Keaton, is bent over with bottles taped to him like a cow udder.
Yeah.
Where two babies are sucking from it.
It's
and he's
so
covered with an American
weird.
Flag.
And it's like, look at this ridiculous man.
This American man.
Huh?
Look at these Americans. They're so weak. They have udders like cows.
He's so ladylike. He's got udders.
He's a man, but he feed a baby. No man do that here
movie.
In France.
This will happen in this movie. The poster is...
it's ridiculous.
It's almost the best part of this fucking movie.
It really is good.
But it is. It's a good... It's a pretty funny movie.
It's a pretty funny movie.
Because eventually... You know, well, Michael Keaton's super charismatic.
First
also.
Of all, Michael Keaton's great. Yeah. You also got Martin Mull's in there.
Oh, yeah. That was his first appearance, maybe?
I think so.
Oh, he's also like 400 times.
Yeah, he's in this movie a lot, too. Everybody in this movie's good. It's John Hughes. John Hughes
eventually,
knows how to get you.
He's like playing bridge with the ladies and betting coupons.
He almost has an affair,
stuff.
But turns out he loves his wife.
Turns out. Martin Wall was going to bang his wife. Martin Wall was all about that fucking affair.
Hey, what was, Tracy something or another? I don't remember, but sure. Yeah, why not?
But it's all based on one fucking comment to one guy where it's like, all right, I got this movie. What if he has to be the mom?
Mr. Mom.
Look at all the crazy stuff he gets into.
And luckily, I mean, the best thing, of course, coming out of this movie is we got a movie years later called Mr. Nanny with Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
With one Hollywood Hulk Hogan. but that was just a big muscle man.
The only thing funnier than a man trying to do a lady stuff is a man trying to do lady stuff who has huge muscles.
Yeah. Or a man trying to do lady stuff but pretending to be an old lady, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mrs. Doubtfire. I was about to say the same goddamn thing.
Yep.
So good. All right, so that brings us to maybe the first movie that growing up was a classic to me in that I watched it a million times and I loved it, and I loved it to this day, and it's a fucking all-time great classic. I'm talking about Lethal Weapon.
Oh, this is the first Lethal Weapon is below the second Lethal Weapon.
Very much so, because
is weird.
Well, no, it's because
usually
people,
it's the opposite.
Sometimes, but this is very clearly an example. At the time of the first Lethal Weapon, Mel Gibson not a huge star.
No, not yet. It's Mad Max.
Mad Max was a genre film. It was a subsect.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So this was his first big like, oh shit. Mel Gibson is a movie star.
Yeah, he's super attractive and a wild card and a crazy person and stuff like that.
But maybe Francisco, maybe you could tame him.
Maybe one of these ladies could tame him.
Yeah.
Because he's got heart because his wife died.
Yeah, his wife died.
It's okay that he's insane and he's acting like a fucking maniac because his wife died.
So that
he's almost killing
all
himself.
Of his...
He tries to kill himself like 14 times in this fucking movie.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
This is a movie, too, that, like, if it was made now, there's a lot of shit in this movie, right? Like,
it'd be two ladies if it was made now.
Well, that's a good point. It'd be two ladies, and both of them would be black, probably. One of them would be overweight.
Neither of them would be white. Well, one of them would be overweight. Yeah. You can do white if it's overweight. Yes. It's true.
You can do white if it's overweight. Modern Hollywood thinking at its best.
Yep. Sorry, everybody. But this is movie also is the movie that every other buddy movie wants to be.
This is absolutely correct. So this is not the first buddy movie. We're going to eventually talk about 48 Hours, or we did in the past.
Yeah.
You can go back and listen to that. But this is not the first buddy movie by any means. But this is the movie, like
you
said,
the one
that crystallizes like, oh, this is what we should all be doing forever. Yes,
exactly. Yeah. Like we need a guy like that doesn't want to do it 30, by the book.
30 years from now, we'll remake this with one of the Wayans brothers.
Yeah, sure. Why not? For Fox. His wife died. He's a crazy wild card dude.
Right. The other guy, he's a by the book family man.
Yeah, he's too old for that shit.
Even though he's still very young at this point.
Yeah, he's like 48 or something.
No, he's I mean, the character maybe, but in real life, Danny Glover was like 31.
Yeah. 28-year-old. Yeah. Danny Glover is too old for this shit. But he's by the book. He gets paired up with this crazy dude. And then they stop a drug ring, right? It was a drug dealing thing. It was the old Vietnam.
It's Gary Busey.
And his...
He has to get that fight in the rain. It's fucking great.
Yeah, it is really fucking good. You get him tied to the thing, right? Getting electrocuted.
Yeah. Oh.
Fucking rad. You get a lot of explosions, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
And a lot of like... That sax, man.
That saxophone.
Oof.
We also do talk a lot about the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Lethal Weapon 5. You can't beat that.
Lethal Weapon 5. So if you go back and listen to it, you hear us talk a lot about Lethal Weapon 5.
Or just watch that episode of Always, or two episodes of Always Sunny, because they're both great.
Yeah. And this movie's great.
Yeah. It's fucking great.
It had the angry yelling guy.
Yep. Oh, the captain?
The captain.
Oh, he's angry, a great yelling, angry captain. Yelling guy.
It had the unnecessary bare ass in the moonlight.
Right? Yeah. Well, not only that, you get tits like first 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. Also, we watched the extended cut,
which had a
school shooting.
That's right.
Where a guy's shooting up a fucking school.
Yeah.
And then Mel Gibson shows up and kills the guy.
Yeah.
Or stops him.
No, he kills him.
He kills him, right? Yeah.
I think, right? I don't know.
But it was one of these things in 80s movies where they would come up with the craziest things.
Because they're like, that'll never happen.
Yeah. Who would shoot up a school?
No one's going to shoot up a school, first of all.
Why would you do that? Exactly.
And obviously, like, the Afghanis, they're just fighting communist Russians. They're the best friends we ever had.
Yeah, that's all we need. We need Afghanis to
kill. Yeah, exactly.
We need to train them and help them because they'll be our friends forever.
It's nothing but, yeah.
Yeah, that's all 80s movies.
Yeah.
But anyway, Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon. Yeah. Awesome. Great.
I remember we loved it.
We do love it. We love it to this day.
We performed fellatio on Lethal Weapon. Yep. I remember that. Yep. Oh, you know what else? Really quick that I wanted to mention about Lethal Weapon, because we talked about this on our... And then go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
A lot of weird family shit with Glover's family. Remember, he's taking like a bath naked.
Oh.
And his whole family runs in.
Yeah, yeah.
For his birthday, I'm like, he's dick out.
Yeah, he's dick out.
Like, no, don't go in there when he's taking a bath.
Especially because it's not... And if you haven't seen this movie for a while, you might be thinking like, well, you know, their family...
No, it's like 18-year-olds.
His daughter is at least 17.
Yeah, and she's in love with Mel. There's a lot of weird things with his daughter.
Yeah, actually. So his daughter... First of all, his daughter is 17 years old. She has seen her father's dick numerous times.
Yeah, because she runs
she
right
wants
in
to
there.
Bang Mel Gibson...
Yeah, she gets kidnapped eventually. Yeah, but there's some weird stuff with his daughter.
Yeah. So next up, we return to the loving, charismatic embrace of Mr. Harrison Ford.
Oh, right back
for Witness.
Witness. Oh, this is a great episode. Witness is a great movie.
Witness is a very good movie.
This is a movie where we talked a lot about what we speculate a lot about Amish stuff.
Yeah, we know nothing about Amish people, which it should be known. Luckily, none of them listen because
we're not on an old-timey
xylophone or whatever the fuck they listen to. We're not a traveling roads show.
We're not on the other side of a can with a string attached to it. We could be.
That actually, can we make money from this podcast if we just go from town to town in a horse and buggy?
We're not hipstery enough.
Yeah. We gotta grow very large beards.
Mustaches. Fancy curled up mustaches.
We gotta really invest in beard wax and vests and banjos. Some banjos.
One of us has to learn something ridiculous that does not mean anything, like juggling or
Can I learn candle making? Maybe.
Yes, candle making would do it.
There we go.
Yeah, that would do it.
And we've got to practice our hey.
Yep. There you go.
Something like that for all of our musical jams that we do.
Yes.
Maybe I can pick up jug blowing.
Oh yeah, that'll do. Yeah. So if one of us puts jug. So now we're just a traveling fucking now we're a traveling road show with horses.
So hey, if you out there, if you're an investor with money to spare, and or maybe you got horses and a buggy,
most hipster fucking idea.
You might have a horses and buggy because maybe that's how you roll.
Yeah.
We would like to take that horse and buggy on the road.
Yes.
Traveling podcast to it's more less of a podcast and more of a live studio show appearance.
Or we're just playing banjo and fucking jugs.
Yeah. Well, and also talking about movies that these people have clearly never seen because they know nothing of technology.
But we're talking an old timey talk.
Yes.
We're like, hear ye, hear ye.
Yes. Come gather round to hear the great tale.
Yeah.
Of one Mr. Ford. His Christian name would be Harrison.
Harrison.
Yes. And in the light of Christ, he did see a child in danger, bring that child back to his family. Because the child,
year of our Lord.
Yeah, in the year of our Lord, 1987 or whatever. Danny Glover with no mustache, which is the most evil of Danny Glovers.
We talked about this. No official hair. Danny Glover, evil.
Always.
He kills like a cop, an undercover cop in the bathroom right away.
Yeah.
And then the little Amish kid sees him. We just assumed that the little Amish kid had never seen a black guy before.
Yes. Which is 100% true. Blew
his fucking mind. Yeah. They took him to a fucking subway station.
Yeah.
This is like, it's like if we just jumped 1,000 years in the future. It's exactly. It's like when Fry woke up in Futurama.
Exactly. If all you had ever seen was blonde-haired, blue-eyed people, and you horses. Suddenly saw Danny Glover.
Yeah.
It would be the same as if we just walked outside and there was a green fucking guy. Green person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Because he doesn't know.
Yeah. He doesn't know. He's fucking 8.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have television.
No, not he has no idea of what it is outside of the
He's Bible. Never gone to the high adventure of a NBA basketball game.
Yeah, exactly. He's never seen the Knicks suck at basketball.
That's true.
He's never seen that.
He's never seen that travesty of the Knicks.
Of the fucking New York Knicks.
Jesus, they're bad.
Going back to our traveling hipster show, I feel like if we're getting money from somebody,
I mean, I hope we are.
We can get rid of the horse carriage and do that new Tesla truck, but covered in stickers. Equally
they're,
as
they're
hipster.
All just, they're all just coexist and they're equally all just hipster. The most.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, okay. So
the movie, Jesus fish and the other eating the fish with the fish. Yeah.
Harrison Ford's a cop.
Yeah, Harrison Ford is a cop.
He's fighting a corrupted system.
That's right.
So he has to take
Because Danny
the kid.
Glover, if I remember right, is also a cop.
Yeah, he's also a cop.
He's a dirty cop.
And he's being protected by the higher-ups.
That's right.
Because they're all dirty.
Yeah.
And the little kid witnesses.
But in a town where every cop is dirty, one Harrison Ford will make a stand.
Yeah, exactly.
And bang a super hot Amish lady. Yeah.
And then bail the fuck out.
And then bail the fuck out.
With one Viggo Mortensen lovingly watching him from Viggo afar.
This is the early Viggo Mortensen as a closeted gay Amish man.
Clearly in love with Harrison Ford.
I mean, who wouldn't
There's
be?
Just shots of him watching him from afar.
Again, who wouldn't?
Yeah.
This is prime Harrison.
Oh, yeah.
This is prime Ford.
He's protecting this kid. He bangs the kid's mom. Yep. Despite the fact that carries, in the Amish community, a whole bunch of shit.
Yeah, she is shunned for the rest of her existence. Yes.
And then he's like, all right, I got to go, guys.
I guess I'm going back to New York or Philadelphia or wherever the fuck it was. Yeah.
He does kill a guy with corn or seed.
Yes, he does. He buries him in a silo of seed.
Which is terrifying.
Yeah, maybe it was corn. I don't remember. But yeah, awesome. It was,
yeah, terrifying to just not be able to get out of that thing and then just asphyxiate in that. Yeah. Also, he left him there.
Yeah.
The Amish people have a lot of cleaning up to do post Harrison Ford.
That's right. They're just, well, and he doesn't even tell them about it, I assume.
So he just leaves.
They're just making they're making some bread or something. And they're just like, oh, let's make some bread. Holy shit, there's a dude. There's a fucking dead dude in our bread.
There's weird mold in this corn this year. And then it's like, oh, no, there's a fucking guy. There's a fully clothed rotting guy
in there for 6 months rotting into our food supply.
Was this from when that guy was fighting dudes? It's gotta be, right?
Is that why Josiah developed the plague and died? Maybe it was because all the bacteria from this fucking corpse that's in our food.
The good Lord has taken 12 children up to his heavenly pearly gates this year. And I think we found the source.
We found the source. Finally.
There's a rotting corpse in the corn.
Ah, the Lord works in mysterious ways.
So this movie really really what I take away from it is Harrison Ford left the Amish with a whole bunch of shit to clean up.
And that brings us to our last episode for this particular adventure. That's Jewel of the Nile.
Ooh, Jewel of the Nile. All right, so this was the sequel to Romancing the Stone.
That's right.
Yeah.
So which we'll get to.
We get to
it. And we got to.
Yes, we did. And this was...
This is Mike Douglas. This is Kathleen Turner. This is our very favorite.
Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito.
This was his first appearance, right?
Yeah.
First appearance of Danny DeVito. This was the weird... fucking shabbily made immediate sequel to Romancing the Stone.
Yep.
Where Kathleen Turner refused to do it until they told her, you were contracted to do it.
That's
and
right.
And she's like, fine, I'll
read the fine print. They told Kathleen Turner, read the fine print. They told the director, it's cool, we'll get someone else. You're busy.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is just a cash grab.
It's a cash grab. Kathleen Turner pulls in a performance that says, I'm contractually obligated to be here.
For some reason, our notes on this episode says we talk a lot about Teddy Ruxpin giving oral sex.
I think we talk about Teddy Ruxpin and oral sex.
Okay. So, I like it better the way I said it.
Well, this was the one where I thought that Terry Ruxpin had a British accent. And you were like, he did not.
That's true.
I'm 100% positive that he did.
No, I will give you, this is 100% true Teddy Ruxpin recreation right now.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Teddy Ruxpin. I'm here to fuck your mom.
That's exactly what Teddy Ruxpin used to say. That's what we talked about. Yeah. As you say, you would get a children's book, and you would say he was going to fuck your mom, and then he would read that children's book.
And then he'd
book.
Be like, little Miss Dwiddle went to the kittle, and go to sleep, I'm going to fuck your mom.
Yeah, you should have gone with diddle, but that's still. <It
worked. laughs> Hey, I didn't write it. Teddy Ruxpin wrote it. So, take up your complaints with Teddy Ruxpin.
When Jack Nicholson caricatured Teddy Ruxpin, said dwiddle, not diddle. But he did say he was going to fuck my mom a lot.
He did. It was constant.
I never had a Teddy Ruxpin because I was poor. Yeah. But I do remember you could press a button at the Toys R Us.
At the toy store, yeah.
And he would say he was going to fuck my mom.
That's true.
I do remember that.
He'd be like, hey, kid, take me home. I'm going to fuck your mom.
Yeah. And I'd be like, well, I don't know if I like that at all. But I really want an animatronic bear.
I want an animatronic bear. And my mom has seemed grouchy lately.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know.
My dad's drunk.
Two birds, one storm.
Exactly, yeah. So. And he's got... books that he reads.
Yeah,
to.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the books are about fucking my mom. But still.
Most of them are penthouse fucking
the stories. Yeah. Penthouse letters. Like,
yeah, exactly.
About how one time fucked my mom.
I would never believe it would happen to me. Yeah,
exactly.
This kid took me into his house and then I had sex with his mom.
And then his mom showed up, tits out.
And then his sister also showed up, who's 18, obviously.
Yeah.
For the sake of the story.
Let me say that again. Yeah. She was 18
years old.
18
years old, clearly.
So it's okay for me to say
that. It's okay. But I fucked her, too.
So this is something we talk about, Terry Ruxpin fucking my mom, apparently. But all right. This
movie, Jewel of the Nile is a fun movie, though.
It is a fun movie because Danny DeVito came back.
That's right. And now he's a good guy for some reason.
But they say... Arab a lot in
they
this
do
movie.
They do,
and they make a lot of Arab jokes.
That's true.
There's a lot of Danny DeVito saying that they're gonna fuck goats. Mm-hmm. there's a lot of like really demonizing them.
Yes,
in a very funny way. But she's got to like write a
and look before you try and like write a letter of complaint to Paramount Pictures. 9/11
Arabs. Yeah, it was the '80s.
Yeah,
you could say
they
that.
Didn't know.
Yeah. But it was not a particularly good movie.
Like it's not said, great, but it's fun.
It's a cash grab.
It's a super fun, like, C-level Indiana Jones adventure.
Yeah. And Danny DeVito shows up. He gets sit on by a donkey, I remember. You know what else I remember that was really good? Is that they steal a fighter jet and drive it like a
that's
car.
That's right.
And smash through walls and shit.
That's really
with
fun.
It and shoot the gun. That was really fun.
Yeah. It's a fun movie.
Yeah. Watch, go to YouTube and watch best
Jewel.
Scenes of Jewel of the Nile.
If you've learned anything from this podcast, one, you should watch Jewel of the Nile. Two, do not buy a Teddy Ruxpin. They will 100% fuck your mom.
Fuck your mom, yeah. That lovable fucking bear is DTF, man.
DTF.
And you can't pass that up.
And
it's
I don't know if you've
bear.
Ever seen a bear dick, but I assume they're big. I've never actually seen one now that I think about it, but I assume.
Yeah, because bear ladies are big.
Yeah.
So they have to be big.
Yeah.
Also, your mom is very unhappy with her sex life. And it's a breath of fresh air to have a tiny Teddy Ruxpin bear.
Just going to town. Just
go to town on your mom.
Yeah. He's willing to do anything.
And Teddy Ruxpin is down for anything.
Down for anything she's into. Anything he's a very giving lover.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, he's
very generous.
Teddy Ruxpin is a very generous lover with your mom.
If there's anything I know about Teddy Ruxpin's.
Very generous with your mom.
So we'll be back next week with more as we get to the final four movies of the countdown.
Yeah.
Blockbuster Nostalgia. If you don't already like, share, subscribe, rate, review.
Instagram.
Facebook, we're all over that shit.
Podomatic. Anywhere where fine podcasts are found.
Until next week, good night and good journey.
We love you.